Praise the Lord, and that is so, so true. Amen. Well, John 3, verses 16 and 17, of course, are very familiar, but our text comes from verses 18 through 21, and verse 19 is our title. It's in there. This is the condemnation, that light is come. Light is come. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that if there's someone here not saved, that they'd get saved. And I pray that we as Christians would receive what we need, guidance, direction from your word, from your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you been watching the Weather Channel during the hurricane time? Anybody watching the Weather Channel? I remember for years kind of keeping track of hurricanes and storms and everything with the Weather Channel, and remember many serious situations. I kind of get a kick out of it because they, you know, they put themselves in unique positions. Now, everybody should be evacuated. Of course, we're here. You know, I always get a kick out of that, and the wind is blowing, you know, and they're holding on to poles and almost horizontal, you know, the wind's blowing them and everything, But the thing that always is funny to me, and news channels and everybody are, when they state the obvious, a hurricane's coming, it's going to be bad. Okay, thank you. But they state the obvious, I've always laughed about this. You know, when, make sure you have batteries in your flashlight. You know, and every time I think, do they think we're all stupid? Maybe. But, just some of the things, you know, if you have, you know, it's going to rain real hard, close your windows and watch out for on the roads. If there's a flood, don't try to go through it, you know, and just things. But the battery thing always was funny to me. I would laugh people know these things. And, of course, last winter, my wife was gone when the ice storm came, and I was laying in bed we always run a little fan to provide noise, and we've done that for many years now, either a fan or humidifier, and in that case it would have been the humidifier, and it's just making its noise and everything. And so I'm laying there in bed, sound asleep, and all this, you know, you can hear the wind blowing, and most of you know Brother Chase especially remembers the ice storm. Amen. but all of a sudden the humidifier shuts off, and I look at the clock, and you know, it's dead, and so the power's gone out. And I'm thinking, oh, no big deal. I reach down, grab the green flashlight by the bed, and nothing.
Uh-oh.
Like I said, are they stupid? Or do they think we're stupid? But anyway, finally, and I'm looking everywhere in the dark, trying to find a flashlight that works, and looking all over the place. Finally, we have one of those that my wife bought, and I said, that's a dumb idea. I can't believe anybody would ever. And there I am, you know, you know, shining my flashlight and everything. And we need light. We need light. Dark is a bad thing. You can't. I mean, you could stumble and fall. Of course, in our house, upstairs. We have the stairway there, and we're always thinking in the middle of the night we're gonna fall down the stairs or something like that. The only time I've fallen downstairs when my wife was chasing me, and I made it all right. But this passage of scripture, it talks about light. And of course, in this passage, it explains salvation. It explains, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is a verse that most of us have memorized. We love it. It is a powerful verse. It is the plan of salvation. God loves us so much, he sent his Son to die on the cross. And if we believe in him, we'll not perish. We will have everlasting life. Praise the Lord for that. But it also is a passage here that explains, I think, why most people are lost, and many are. Let's be honest about it. The last statistic I heard was 11% of the world claims to be Christian, and so in reality, maybe 5 to 6% really are saved, born again, Bible believing Christians, and so most of the world is lost, and this passage I think explains that. To us. In fact, it not only explains that, I think it explains why things are getting worse and worse. And I think it explains why there is so much anti-Jesus, anti-Christ ideas in this world. I mean, you know, for example, you look at the Muslim religion, and seriously, you go against them, and they're going to cut off your head, right? And you say, well, that's why nobody's against them. They don't want to get their head cut off. Well, but I'm just saying, you know, Christianity's not. Why would people hate Christianity? Why do so many hate Jesus? Well, this passage explains it. It said, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. And that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the light that has come is shining in it. And it just, you know, it's hated because it reveals what's going on in people's lives. Light is come. Certainly, there's plenty of darkness. Starting at Genesis 1, look at it real quick. And you want to get a view of darkness and get a view of this old world before there was light. Genesis 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And look what it says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so all of that is taking place, but it's dark. And darkness is... And every time I read that, I think, wow, you know, it just sounds gloomy. It sounds terrible. But verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And all of a sudden, everything's better. I mean, it's amazing, seriously. When you hear branches cracking above your house, and you hear them hitting your roof, and everything's pitch black, and you can't tell what's going on outside, and you can't tell, you know, other than what you hear and everything, and it's dark, and you know, it's kind of refreshing to finally get a flashlight that works, and it just sort of brightens things up a little bit, and how great it is when finally the power company restores the light, and you know, we really take for granted the light. And the truth of the matter is, so many love the darkness, they actually hate the light. Now, not a flashlight or something like that, but darkness pictures fear. Darkness pictures despair. When is it that the child is afraid of whatever's under the bed? That's at night. It's in darkness. Oh, could I turn the light on in my room and go to sleep that way? You know, why is that? Well, because darkness is always, it's always a picture of fear. It's amazing, when I was growing up as a child, storms would come during the day and it was no big deal. But let a storm come at night and I was terrified. I'm running into Dad's room, you know, like he's going to stop it. But I'm just saying, you know, that light somehow, it dispels our fear. Darkness brings on fear. Darkness brings on despair. Darkness is a picture of gloom and all of that. But light has come, the Bible says. That this is the condemnation. Light is come. Look at John 12, verse 46, just a few pages over. John 12 and verse 46. And here's what Jesus said, I am come a light into the world. Light is come. We celebrate Christmas. What's it mean? Light is come. He said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Praise the Lord for that. I mean, who would want to abide in gloom and despair and fear and unknowing what's going on? Who would want that? I mean, we grab a flashlight. We grab, you know, we'll charge up our flashlight. We'll charge up a lantern. We'll have every means to get light on in the house. And yet in our own lives, we don't really think so much about Jesus said, I'm the light. He said, I'm come a light. He said that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Praise God, we don't have to abide in darkness. And so we come to number one, and that is the revelation. The revelation, light is come. Jesus has come into the world, and he came to us. And two things about this. First of all, God is revealed. John 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's talking about a spiritual light. I understand that. But just as when in Genesis, when everything's created and everything's darkness, and God says, let there be light, there is light. Amen. I mean, light obeys God. Light does what it's supposed to do. And it's amazing when you study what all obeys God. I think about Joshua, you know, sun, stand still. And God made the sun stand still. Amen. And there was an extra day of light. And it's amazing all the things that obey God. And the only thing that doesn't is us. You know, I mean, from the amoeba to the whale, everything obeys God, does what God says to do. The sun does. The earth does. Everything's in its place as God puts it in its place. Everything obeys except us. You know, we're the only ones that have a problem with this. And when God says, let there be light, there is light. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. Amen. The light of the world. He sent Him forth as a light, and He's revealed as a light. In the Old Testament, He's revealed in the Shekinah glory of God and the brightness of God that could not be looked at by man in the Holy of Holies. And a common man could not look at Him. But Jesus Christ, He came as a man and He walked on this earth. John chapter 1 and verse 1, look at it. John 1 and verse 1, again, familiar verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus came into this world. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and the light was here. Why did men hate Jesus? Because He's light. How in the world could they crucify Jesus? Because He's light. Because His preaching, His life, His testimony, everything that He did, it went against what they were doing. They didn't like it. And it shined like a light. Like when the doctor's checking your eyes and he shines that light and he says, keep your eyes open, you know, and you hate that. You know, it's just so bright in your eyes. And it's like when it's a sunny day and there's snow on the ground and that light reflects off all that snow and it's so bright and you can't hardly take it. You know, Jesus has that effect on mankind. Why are they so against Jesus? Because He's a light. He's a light. We celebrate Christmas and it's coming up. Amen. But we have really don't have a concept of what it's all about. It's about Emmanuel, God with us. And light has come. Light has come. By the way, light's coming again. And you know what man's going to do? Again, just study your Bible. Man is going to take every weapon that man has. Man is going to take every jet, every missile, every tank, every bomb. Mankind is going to unite together under the Antichrist. They are going to do everything they can to shoot Him out of the sky. Why? Light has come. Light is coming again. You look at the effort of Herod to kill the little baby. Wait a minute, I heard that he's a king and I want to know where he is and I'm going to do away with him and I'm going to kill him and we'll kill all the children, all the little baby boys. Well, why? Why would he care? Because light. He's a light. Yes, God is revealed. God is revealed, but notice also that God reveals. Yeah, because light reveals things. It does. If all were dark, all would appear dark. That's a deep statement. You ought to write it down. It'll change your life. But light makes the difference. It makes all the difference in the world. And you know, compared to light, we see ourselves. We see what we really are. Have you ever thought if you got ready in the morning and didn't turn the bathroom light on, how much easier it'd be to get ready? It's true. Try it in the morning. Seriously, especially, well, some of you get up and it's daylight, you know, it's noon. But I'm talking about, you know, you get up and it's still dark outside. Don't turn the bathroom light on, all right? And get in front of the mirror and get ready like you usually do. You'd be amazed how fast it'll go. You say, preacher, I might put lipstick on my nose. Yeah, you might. I think you'd know the difference. but I might stab myself in the eye with my eyebrow pencil. You might. But probably you would just say, oh, everything's fine. Just walk out. Yeah, don't. But see, it's that light that makes that mirror work. It's the light that helps you to be able to see how you really look. And you see, that's why Jesus causes so much trouble. Because he's light and he shows us how we really look. And the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shows mankind what he really is. We see ourselves for what we really are. Of course, we as his children, those who are here today who are saved and trusted Christ, he tells us we're lights. Yeah. We're shining brightly as lights. What's that mean? Well, that means that we've come out of the darkness into light. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, that's why people don't like us. Now, I think you ought to be very likable. Amen. I think we ought to be the best people on the face of the earth. We ought to be the kindest people. We ought to do good things. We ought to do right things. We ought to be nice to people. We ought not be nasty to people. We ought to be, but just saying I'm a Christian often upsets people. People can write in anything they want in the newspaper. Have you ever noticed? They'll write anything and everything. You know, politics, they'll write about that. They'll write about, you know, how great the union is. And somebody else will say how bad it is. And they'll write all kinds of things. And typically people put up with, you know, all kinds of things people write. Let somebody write about Jesus. And I mean, all of a sudden letters are coming. Oh, you people, what's wrong with you? You know, why is that? Because light. Because what's happening is it's called conviction. What's happening is a peeling away a facade of mankind. It's peeling away what humanism has layered us with, that we're so great and so wonderful. And Jesus peels all that away and shows us we're sinners. And to be honest with you, it's not a popular thing to say that any human is a sinner today. God's revealing with his light. You know, that's what we're supposed to do, is we're supposed to be a reflection of the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and again, a familiar verse, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. As Christians, we're supposed to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass like a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How is it that over the years, history has recorded the deaths of so many Christians? Christian after Christian after Christian. I'm talking about blood-bought, born-again Christians. And they're being massacred. You say, well, that was then. That's happening now. What are they doing? They're just being Christians. Why is there so much hatred? Because of light. And we're changed into the same image. As we look into the face of Jesus, we reflect him. Moses, when he met with God in the Shekinah glory of God, they couldn't even stand to look at him. His face shone so brightly. They said, put a veil on him. There will always be people trying to put a veil on the glow. Amen. There will always be somebody trying to put out the fire that you have from walking with God. There will always be somebody it's going to bother. Who do you think you are, Mr. Christian? I just walk with Jesus today. Well, I don't like the way you're looking at me. I'm not looking at you anyway. But see, what they really don't like is they're being peeled open. And who they are and what they are is being revealed by the light. Look at Acts 4, verse 13. Acts 4 and verse 13. I've always loved this verse. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. See, we all could qualify. Isn't that good? They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that good? How could they tell? Because they had a glow, I guess. How could they tell? My wife and I are walking by the duck pond several weeks ago, and we're walking down there and just holding hands and smiling. A couple ladies, they looked up, and one lady looked up, and she said, "You're Christians, aren't you?" We hadn't said a word. We were still a little ways off, and she lights up. "You're Christians, aren't you?" And she said, it's so nice seeing you hold hands and be so happy. I said, well, yeah, I'm a pastor. She said, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. Glory to God. Now, had it been somebody, you know, sitting there doing evil things, maybe doing a drug deal or something like that, you know, they'd look at us different. Right? Yeah, it is different. Christian girl talking to the preacher one time, she said, you know, she said, preacher, she said, I just don't understand why we're surrounded by lost people in this world. Why there's just lost people everywhere? You know, why didn't God just take us away? The preacher said this. He said, do we put lights in a bright place? No, we put lights in a dark place. And God put us in a dark place. And I'm serious, folks. It's getting darker and darker. It really. What should we do? Shine brighter and brighter. But the truth of the matter is, the darker it gets, the brighter we look. And the more it's like, I hate you, the revelation. Number two is the rejection. Because the scripture is very, very clear. It says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. There's a rejection. They love darkness rather than light. Now, we want to light up the bedroom when the ice storm comes. We want to light up the stairway when the power goes off. But we want to light up the basement when we go down there because there's evil down in the basement always. Giant spiders and snakes, and turning a light on will help them find you. But anyway, but we want to light up all those areas. We want to light up the streets, don't we? We want to put lights outside the church, and so the person comes to the only place in the church that's dark and breaks in. We're lighting everything up, right? But boy, when it comes to the Lord, I'd prefer darkness. Soul winning this week? Heard it, right? You heard it. Many heard it. Well, they don't say I'd rather have darkness, but they say, I don't want that. I'm not interested. Yes, sir. I don't want that kind of a light. What are you talking about? Why would I want? Yeah, I know. The presence of God brings light. Bible teaches it. Christians should know it, but the world hates it. There's a rejection. A rejection. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 13. Ephesians 5 and verse 13. Ephesians 5, 13, it says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. How do we know to reprove anything? What's made manifest by the light? For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So what you're saying, preacher, is just our very existence is a reproof. Sure it is. Of course it is. The fact that you're not a drunkard is a reproof to all the drunkards. The fact that you're not a thief is a reproof to all the thieves. The fact that you're not a crook where you work and you're not dishonest where you work, it's a reproof to all those who are dishonest where they work. You know, the fact that you walk away when they're telling dirty stories and dirty jokes, it's a reproof. It's like, oh, they think they're better than us. I just don't want to hear that stuff. The fact that you leave when gossip starts is a reproof to the gossips. You have to understand. But men love darkness rather than light. Because we don't want to be reproved. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. That's why some folks come to church and don't pay attention to anything. They'll go to Sunday school and they just ignore everything. I used to go, I remember before I got saved, I'd go to the Wesleyan church. And back they preached the gospel back in those days, and many still do. But I remember I would sit and read the songbook during the whole service. You say, yeah, you were just trying to be cool. No, I just didn't want to be reproved for my life. I didn't want to hear that I was lost. I didn't want to hear that I was going to hell. You say, why didn't you want to hear it? Because I'd rather deny it. It was that light shining. It was that light reproving. That's why God says preach the word. reproof, rebuke, exhort. You know, but part of that is reproof. Part of that is saying, hey, you are going the wrong way. Time to go the other way. And man says, I don't want to hear that stuff. Isn't it amazing? Our message is such a simple message. Why would it bring hatred? It's the gospel. It's good news. Why would it bring so much hatred and persecution all across our world? Why is it that Christians are dying in countries all across this world? Why? Because of the light. The light. Dark is the absence of light. It's the absence of God. And those who are doing evil love that absence of God. That's why people miss church. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to, you know, I would rather continue in my darkness. We ignore. We ignore preaching. We don't read our Bible. We don't pray because we are in darkness and we'd rather have that darkness. Oh yeah, we want to charge our flashlight, but not our spiritual flashlight. We'd rather live in darkness. What kind of darkness? Well, there's a darkness of ignorance, first of all. A darkness of just not knowing, of ignorance. It's kind of like a missionary took a sundial one time to some natives, and he had this neat sundial, and pretty soon the natives started to worship the sundial. And they worshipped it so much, they were worried about this sundial. It was their idol. It was like a god. And so they put a roof over it to protect it from the sun. Doesn't work, does it?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. And you see, the lost, they put a roof over them to keep God out. And the carnal Christian does the very same thing. I don't want that light. That light, it's shining. Why wouldn't you want light shine on you? Because you don't want anybody to know. You don't want to deal with whatever sin is in your life. It's a darkness of ignorance. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Good passage dealing with light. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. The Bible says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That's what light brings. It brings the knowledge of the glory of God. I mean, that light shines and all of a sudden things make sense. Honestly, till you got saved, this whole world didn't make sense. You can listen to all the humanism. You can listen to evolution. You can listen to all kinds of wicked philosophies out there and ridiculous philosophies. Nothing makes sense until the light of God shines. And all of a sudden, wow, it does make sense. In the beginning, God. That makes sense to me. I mean, if there's a God, He's bigger than me. If there's a God, He knows more than me. If there's a God, He's always been. If there's a God, He's the creator of everything. If there's a God, He is a God that is going to love me or He'll kill me. And here I am. Wow, it just makes sense to me. But you see, that's because of the light. And only God's light gives knowledge of the truth. Otherwise, man has to come up with something like evolution, which is totally ridiculous. Absolutely, there is nothing more ridiculous than the theory, not the fact, but the theory of evolution. It's absolutely ridiculous. What makes more sense? That nothing plus nothing equals something, or in the beginning, God?
Amen.
Come on, folks. Honestly, I mean, it doesn't make sense that we could be amoeba one day and have computers the next. All of a sudden now, we've invented the digital system and all of that. All of a sudden, we have come up with fiber optics. Because man, amoeba? Protoplasms? Apes? You've got to be kidding me. Got to be kidding me. But you know what does make sense? It makes sense. There's a God who lets us learn these things. There's a God that knew it before the foundation of the world was ever laid, and He just shows us some things every now and then. I thank Him often. Lord, thank You for letting the doctor know this. You ever watch a doctor? And it's hard to get a doctor sometimes. I got to be careful. But sometimes they won't admit they don't know. So they'll tell you you're wacky in the brain. But every now and then you'll have a doctor be honest and say, you know, we just don't know this yet. We just don't know how that works. Just haven't quite figured it out. You know what, though? One of these days, if the Lord tarries, they'll understand that God will show them a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Isn't it amazing? Technology that God's let us learn. Absolutely amazing. But for God, that's easy because that light shines and man can know some things. Only God's light gives us the knowledge of the glory of God. Again, it's a knowledge that says glory to God. Look what God's done. Humanism is opposed to that. That's why humanism hates the light. Humanism says man is the measure of all things, but the light says man's a sinner. The light says man is, because of his sin, the wages of sin is death. The light says that man is going to destroy himself because of his sin. Humanism hates that. Atheism says there is no God. And then there's, it's amazing, the agnostics say they're the smart ones. I've always been amazed at how the intelligentsia of the world, they say they're agnostics. But agnostic means to not know. How smart are you? If you don't know? Amen. But you know, my Bible says that in the light I can know. In the light, I can know I'm saved. In the light, I can know I'm going to heaven. In the light, I can know the Bible. I can understand creation. I can understand how man came to be. I can understand that man is a sinner and that man needs to be saved. And I can understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for my sin. I can understand the blood. I can understand the importance of the blood. I can understand the life of the flesh is in the blood. But I can understand the preciousness of Jesus' blood. But only because of the light. And the world says, you don't need all that kind of stuff. Oh, that's because you're angry because of the light that says we do. There's that darkness of ignorance. And man is going to remain ignorant until he gets in the light. But there's also the darkness of sinful pleasure. We just like our sin. You know? We just like our sin. And the more sin, the darker it is. Years ago, In many, many mines, they would have mules working in the mines, and they say that they would lower mules down into a mine, and they would live there in the darkness of that mine for many years. And after several years, they'd bring them up, and every one of them was blind. You know, the more you're in the darkness, the more blind you become, and you cannot stand the light. And you see people that just, you try to talk to them about the Lord, and it's like they absolutely hate you for even bringing it up. Why? They don't mind the dentist telling them they have a cavity. They don't mind the doctor saying you need this medicine. They'll even let the doctor give them a shot. Then they pay for it. But tell them their soul is sick. And it's like, you get out of my. It's rejection of the light. Back to 2 Corinthians 4 real quick. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Again, I mentioned this is a good passage about the light. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, it says this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And that's what Satan's job, well, I'll tell you, he's doing a good job of it today. He's blinding the minds of people to keep that light out. Every time you go soul winning, every time you talk to a coworker, every time you hand somebody a tract, you are doing your very best to find a little crack, a little crevice, a little area where you can get some light in so they can see it and they can know what you know. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. He is the light. Preach him. You preach yourself, it's a flashlight with no batteries. You preach Jesus, it's light to get in so they can see it. Number one, I talk about the revelation. Light has come. Number two, the rejection. Men love darkness rather than light. Number three is the reason. The Bible's very clear. It's because their deeds are evil. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, and therefore they hate the light. Verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's why we have to go soul winning. That's why we have to go and set up a tent at the 4-H fair. That's why we have to go and run buses and pick people up, because man typically is not going to come to the light.
Amen.
We take the light to them.
Amen.
Why? Deeds were evil. Why didn't I want to go to church when I heard the truth the first time? Why didn't I want to listen when I heard the truth the first time? Because my deeds were evil, and I didn't want to change. And I didn't want anything to change. Oh, I'm in darkness. Yeah, I know that. And I liked it. Because I liked my sin. They hate the light because the light reveals all. Why was Jesus crucified? It's unbelievable to think about. And if you go back, read it over and over and over and over and over again, because it's amazing. I think one of the reasons that we have the Lord's Supper is obviously this do in remembrance of me. But you ought to think about the crucifixion. You know, Jesus did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. Why is it? Here's Barabbas, who did a lot of things wrong. To the people, he did things wrong. Treason, murder, you name it. I mean, the guy's guilty of everything. And now here's Jesus, who's done nothing. What's he done? Well, he healed some folks. What's he done? Well, he made the blind see. What's he done? He made the lame walk. What's he done? He made the deaf hear. What's he done wrong? We haven't done anything wrong that we can come up with. Well, here's Barabbas and here's Jesus. What do you want us to do with him? Kill Jesus. Why? Why? Because they hate the light. Because the one thing Jesus did is he revealed sin. Light reveals sin. Look at John 15, verse 22. John 15, verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. What? Why do they hate him? They have no cloak for their sin. They have no covering. They have no excuse. They have nothing to hide behind. Like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there's nothing. Their works could not hide them. He that hateth me hateth my Father, Jesus said. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. What's that mean? They could have just gone on their merry little way and died and gone to hell. But when the light came, they, deep down, they knew they were sinners. Why? Because he reveals that. That's why folks get uncomfortable in church. That's why folks get uncomfortable in the teen meeting. Get uncomfortable in our chapel, in our Christian school. Get uncomfortable in Sunday school class. That's why people get uncomfortable at a funeral service. You know, at a funeral service? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why people get uncomfortable at a wedding. We'll give the gospel pretty much every wedding we have. We'll give the gospel out. People, you know, I don't think that was necessary. There's only one reason you didn't think it was necessary. Because you don't want the light. I cannot think of a better thing to do at a wedding ceremony than to have somebody trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And a funeral? You're not going to tell how the person is rejoicing in heaven where there is no darkness? There's no night there? And we're not going to rejoice about heaven's glory? But again, it's like, don't talk about that! Because their deeds were evil. And Jesus very, very clearly tells us, verse 18 of John 15, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That's not popular today. And by the way, it sickens me to watch Christians become worldly to try to appease the world. What are you doing? You're putting a veil over your light. That's exactly what we're doing. Anytime we stoop to the world's methods, we're covering up the light. So they'll like us. So they'll respect us. You know what? You'll not find that anywhere in Scripture. Nowhere. Yeah, I'm not trying to. You know what? If an unsaved person comes in here, I want them to be very, very, very uncomfortable. Not because we're not saying the right thing. Not because we're mean. Not because people are unkind. No, none of that. But because it's light. And because the light of the gospel is trying to break through. I'll be honest with you. I was completely uncomfortable every time I went to Grace Baptist Church in Bluffton, Indiana before I got saved. I was uncomfortable the moment I stepped through the doors. I was uncomfortable sitting in the service. I was uncomfortable during the song service. I mean, they're singing, "What can wash away my sin?" I'm thinking, why are all these people singing about their sin? You know, I couldn't believe it. You know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, that's nasty. You don't want to talk about somebody's blood. I mean, we can't, not on church day. And I'd sit there as uncomfortable as anybody. And the invitation, I was real uncomfortable. Sweat. You know, I ruined a lot of shirts. Why? Why are we so uncomfortable? Well, because we want to hide. And that light reveals where we are. You ever play hide and seek in the dark and you have, somebody has a flashlight?
Yeah.
Thank you. Me too. And you know, powerful light, you could find people all over the place, right? Yeah. But Christians, that's why the world hates you. I remember one time when I was probably 13, 14 years old, we had some neighbors that we didn't get along with. None of the kids did, and it was our fault, not necessarily theirs, but it might have been some of theirs. But we did a lot of things to them. Well, my friends did. And one night we were sleeping out, camping out in sleeping bags and everything, and we were in a field by their house, and I don't know, it was probably 2 o'clock. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, you really ought to be asleep. Amen. But we weren't. And 2 o'clock in the morning, and so we decided to go knock on their window. And so one of the guys, he was appointed as the guy to knock on the window. And he goes, and we're just right, we're back at the end of a field, back in a ditch. And he runs up there, and you can hear it. Boom, boom, boom. And he's running. You know, naturally, he runs right under the street light. Not smart. But he's running, you know, and so we are laughing. We thought that was the funniest thing. Pretty soon he comes back and joins us, and boy, we're just sitting there just having a great time. We're hidden back in these trees, back in a ditch, and watching all the lights come on at the house, and that's the funniest thing. And all of a sudden the car comes into the addition there, and we're looking, thinking, boy, somebody, it's awful late for anybody to be coming home tonight. I mean, this is late. And all of a sudden we see this beam of light shining all around. I said, "Oh, there must be bad stuff going on. Look at that. There's a police car out there. It looks like it might be the sheriff, and he's got his lights, and all of a sudden it hit us. He's looking for us." And we got down as low as we could, and that beam of light, I'm telling you, all of a sudden it goes from 2 o'clock in the morning till noon. You know, it's noon where we are because it's shining right on us. It's amazing how bright it was. I mean, it absolutely lit up the whole field. And there we are. How y'all doing? And you know, seriously, now, you know, at that point, I hated that light. Why? Because I'm caught. And that's the thing about the world. You know, a surgeon uses a bright light to see the small things that they have to operate on. And God's light, it shows our little sins and our big sins. And the sins we think are hidden, you know, as we crouch in the ditch behind all the trees and we think nobody sees. But the truth is, the light shows. It really does. The revelation, the rejection, the reason, and the last thing, number 4, is the regret. And that says, this is the condemnation. Verse 19, this is the condemnation. It's condemnation. Light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The regret. You know, the Bible says that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. God shines his light not to condemn. You're already condemned. God shines his light so you can get saved. Hey, Christian, God, you know, hard preaching is not to condemn. If you've got sin in your life, you're already in trouble. What's hard preaching? Hard preaching is to try to get you to get right. Hard preaching is to try to get you to get right before chastening comes from God. Conviction of the Holy Spirit is the step right before chastening of God. And all of that is a result of that light shining. And we hate that light. I hate it. I don't want that light. And yet the light could be our best friend. The regret is when we run from the light and we remain in our condemned state. If you're here today and you're not saved, the Bible says you are condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But light has shined today. And you've heard that you're a sinner. The light reveals that. You've heard that there's a price for sin. That's a place called hell. And you've heard that Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross to pay for your sin. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've heard. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The light shines so you can see that you need to call on Jesus to be your Savior. Christian, the light shines in our lives so we can see that we need to get right with God. The regret is when we don't do it. The regret is when we say, get away, I don't want that light. That's a regret. And for the lost, that means to die and go to hell. For the Christian, what do you lose? Look at John chapter 12. Actually, verse 21 of John 3, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Certainly, you lose your testimony. John chapter 12 and verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess him. A little boy was with his dad, and they went to a little store to buy the boy a picture. It was an art store, and they wanted to buy the boy a picture of Jesus. He was all excited. The teacher had taught about Jesus in Sunday school, and sure enough, they found a picture, and they thought that was really neat, and it was exciting. But the boy kept looking around, and he saw a lot of pictures that had lights in them, and he was kind of intrigued with that, and the little boy looked at his dad, and he said this. He said, I want a Jesus who shines in the darkness. You know what? That's the Jesus that we have. We have a Jesus that shines in the darkness, whether it's darkness of sin that we need. We need him to shine on our sin. We need it to be revealed. We need it to be exposed. We need it for salvation. We need it for Christian growth. We need that. Or whether it's darkness, the darkness of sorrow and hurt and pain. We have a Jesus who shines in the darkness. And thank God that light is come. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. No one's looking around. No one's talking, please. I wonder how many here today would say, Preacher, I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And if I were to die right now, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand as a testimony of that. You know you're saved, no doubt about it. You've trusted Christ as Savior. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I wonder if there's someone here who'd say, Preacher, I don't know that. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand if you're not sure of your salvation? Slip up your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, God's spoken to my heart? I'm a Christian. I'm saved, but God's dealing with me today. Pray for me. Raise your hand. All over. All over. Thank you. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you that light has come. Thank you for the light in my life that showed me I was lost and I needed Christ. Thank you for the light of salvation and for knowledge, Bible knowledge, truth that is in the Word of God that we might grow. Thank you for constant reminder and the light shining over and over and over again as correction needs to be made in my life. Help us now to make any decisions we need to make. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.